Let's open our Bibles this evening to the 64th Psalm, Psalm 64. Psalm 64. I have a relatively short Bible study and message for tonight. This Psalm of David was actually my scheduled reading a couple days ago, this past Tuesday. It is a timeless psalm, as really they all are, with eternal truth for every generation about the Lord's defense of the righteous and his recompense upon the workers of iniquity. This psalm speaks directly to what I am sure many of us are feeling these days as we watch the workers of iniquity in our own generation, especially those at the federal level and most local levels who write the laws, who control the economy, the schools, the courts, America's foreign policy, who over the past 2 to 3 years especially have ramped up and worked tirelessly and relentlessly to bring this nation to financial and moral ruin. And who have also, having been given over to the insanity of their reprobate minds and in pursuit of their Luciferian agenda, have brought the entire world to the brink of what appears to be an unwinnable World War III via direct conflict between NATO, Russia, and China, and also an attempt to tear down and eradicate every last vestige of whatever may once have been good about America or that may have given any hope of light at the end of the very dark tunnel that America has gone into. Every generation has had its workers of iniquity who schemed and plotted against the righteous. David had them in his, and so he says here in verse 1 of Psalm 64, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." That's David talking there. And this fearless man of war, who, of course, we know single-handedly took on and slew the Philistine giant Goliath of Gath, of whom it was said throughout Israel that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. But David still had moments of fear, in which more than once he actually poured out his soul to the Lord in his psalms, as he did also, for instance, in a similar Psalm 31, where David says in Psalm 31, verse 13, "For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life." He says in verse 14, Psalm 31, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." Here he says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy." Meaning, save me from the enemy that I am presently in fear of. And he says in verse 2, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked." Hide me, in other words, from the mischief that they secretly take counsel together about. And then he says, "From the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." From their rebellion against God, that is, their insurrection against God and against his laws. Verse 3, "Who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows," even bitter words. That word "whet" here in verse 3, of course, means to sharpen, as with a whetstone that some still use to sharpen their knives. Meaning they conspire and they scheme and they plot to bring false accusations and slander against the righteous, as David also prayed about in Psalm 31. David says they bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Then David says they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They hold their lodge meetings and their Bohemian Grove rallies and their Bilderberg and their World Economic Forum meetings to encourage themselves in an evil matter, to embolden themselves and embitter themselves against the righteous, to convince themselves that their united agenda and what their father the devil has brought them together to do will be good for them and for the world, perhaps. And then David says they commune, meaning they conspire together, just as he says in Psalm 2, they conspire together of laying snares privily for the righteous, of course. And then in their atheistic foolishness, They mock at God. As David puts it, they say, who shall see them? As if there's a God in heaven, he won't see us or he won't stop us. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Like, you know, the Middle Age inventors of the rack and various other devices and means of cruel torture. They're masters of all the arts of mischief and destruction. They're extremely industrious and resourceful, seeking out the latest technologies and putting their schemes into practice. And then David says, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. Both, David says, in their reprobate minds and in their hearts, in their spirit man, they are full of evil, displaying themselves to be sons of their father the devil, both in their heart and in their soul. And of course, when writing this psalm and pouring out his soul to the Lord, David had the workers of iniquity of his day in mind. But almost as if prophetic, these words are a great description of the workers of iniquity and the powers that be of our day, who have almost completed their goal of monopolizing their cabal's control over the banking, the financial systems, the governments, media, entertainment and information industries, food supply, food chain distribution systems of this world, monopolizing all these things under their control, and thereby seeking to control every aspect of our lives from cradle to grave. That's what they're trying to do. Even now, plotting to do away completely with cash and replace it with a centralized digital currency like China has. So they can monitor and control every commercial transaction made by every human being on the planet. And then, of course, they'll also be able to ration every person's purchasing power or shut it off for those who refuse to bend to their will and bow down to the New World Order. That is their agenda. That is their goal. But David says of the evil workers of his day, this is also true of the same in our day. Verse 7, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, for all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. This psalm, I believe, is very applicable to our day and to the things that we see taking place in the world today and the machinations and the exploits of the American empire. It's been about 6 weeks since I brought my last update on America's proxy war in Ukraine against Russia. Much has taken place since then, and I think we all need to be aware of. One development that I'm sensing, maybe you guys are too, is that in more ways than one, the schemes of the cabal in trying to rule the world through the American empire are beginning to backfire. As more and more people the world over are seeing the overt anti-God, anti-freedom evil that has been promoted by the Biden administration, anti-American sentiment is growing by leaps and bounds across the world. While most people are brainwashed, most American people are brainwashed by American media, by the cover-ups and propaganda, most of the world is not. To the point where many nations are seeing that America, with all of its boasting of freedom and liberty, isn't the way it is, in fact, guilty of having started and pushed for this proxy war with Russia, using the Ukrainian military and people as pawns, has in some ways become every bit as evil as communist China. And in some ways, even more so, considering the way it is now pushing its LGBT queer foreign policy on the nations of the world. I'll come back to that in a minute. While the American propaganda machine has repeatedly tried to say Russia is weak and will ultimately lose this war, it has become obvious that those claims are, in fact, bald-faced lies. Millions of Ukrainians have been displaced from their homes, many of which have been destroyed, their homes, that is, while well over 200,000 Ukrainian military personnel have been killed or wounded. Russia is crushing the Ukrainian military, most recently in the city of Bakhmut, which Ukraine had fortified and was trying to hold as one of its main defensive positions, but that Russia has now turned into what is being described as a meat grinder. Tucker Carlson of Fox News, who has understandably become the most watched news journalist on TV, because he is a true journalist, putting out real news that CBS, NBC, ABC, and CNN refuses to publicize. But it blows my mind that Rupert Murdoch lets Tucker do that. But that's what he did with the COVID scam and with the vaccines, and is now also doing that with the war in Ukraine. And that's also, I'm sure, why his ratings are so high. But a week ago or so, Tucker had retired Colonel Douglas McGregor as a guest on his show. And again, Colonel McGregor is a brilliant political and military historian and strategist, highly decorated for his actions in the 1990 Gulf War in Iraq, when as a squadron operations officer, McGregor led a contingent of 19 tanks, 26 Bradley fighting vehicles, and 4 mortar carriers through a sandstorm into a battle known as the 73 Eastling on February 26, 1991, and destroyed almost 70 Iraqi armored vehicles with no U.S. casualties in a 23-minute battle. So this man knows modern warfare. He served as senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense in the Trump administration, and he still has several friends inside the Pentagon that McGregor says are giving him the true story of what's taking place in Ukraine. McGregor stated on that interview with Tucker Carlson that the real reason for the withdrawal of the American forces from Afghanistan was that the USA has fallen into a state of economic weakness, just as it happened to the British when they withdrew from India, said McGregor. Regarding the situation in Russia and Ukraine, McGregor said his sources inside the Pentagon told him that at least 122,000 Ukrainian soldiers have been confirmed killed, which number rises to 157,000 when you include those missing in action and presumed dead, while the Russians count only 20,000 total dead and 50,000 wounded, less than one-fifth of what the Ukrainians have lost. McGregor said, quote, "The Ukrainians will be crushed. Even the Washington Post and the New York Times are finally starting to write the truth." He said the losses are terrible. "We watched as the Russians basically destroyed 3 separate armies that had been created by the Ukrainians. And everyone is now starting to wonder what's really going on. The truth is coming out, which is that this war was not started by Russia. That Russia asked us not to try to push Ukraine into NATO. We ignored Russia, and Russia had already made it clear that it would defend its national interests. All they wanted," said McGregor, "was the neutral status for Ukraine." And that's true. Been saying that for a year now. And then when Tucker asked him how the U.S. would go about waging war against Russia and possibly China at the same time, McGregor replied, "This is not possible. It cannot be done against Russia," he said. We couldn't do it with them. We couldn't take them on the ground. He said, "We are on the road to bankruptcy." Furthermore, he said, "I'm concerned that we might actually provoke a direct confrontation with the Russians. We've already seen that the Russians are ready to fight. They've already carried out partial recruitment. They can quickly send millions of men in the field. We can't do that." He says, "We can't even recruit new blood for our armed forces." He said, "The left," meaning Biden et al., "has destroyed the U.S. military." "Who are we kidding?" he says. "The stocks of ammunition and equipment that we have accumulated over the years have been depleted. Now sending them over to Ukraine, even though we have never gone to war." He said, "This is madness." Obviously, this is madness. And so just as what took place during the COVID scam, several voices were then getting out the truth about the scam and the fraud. But the cabal and its controlled prostitute network media machine just keeps lying to the bulk of Americans that continues to trust the major network news to tell them the truth. They just keep putting out these lies. The American people, for the most part, continue to believe that Putin is the evil monster here and that China's Xi Jinping is now his criminal accomplice, and that Joe Biden is leading the righteous charge to rescue Ukraine. Speaking of China, after warning 3 weeks ago of a coming military confrontation between China and the U.S., a few days ago, China's President Xi Jinping, I'm sure you all heard, made a historic visit to Moscow to meet with Vladimir Putin to present his ceasefire peace plan to end the war in Ukraine, which is important to him because they want to build an overland route to trade with Europe. And that's got to go through Ukraine, and he wants peace in the area so they can actually build up some trade with Europe directly without having to go by ship, which is subject to, you know, dangerous from the American Navy. But before that peace plan was even presented to the U.S., it was rejected. In an interview with Fox News, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said the U.S. is, quote, "vehemently opposed to the call for a ceasefire between the warring nations of Russia and Ukraine. I said, any peace initiative between Kiev and Moscow, whose military has followed a fierce battle on the eastern side of Europe, is unacceptable. In other words, peace is unacceptable here to the Americans. In other words, America is going to dictate what's happening over there, not Ukraine, not the Ukrainian people. It's America that's going to dictate what takes place over there. Hours later then, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, who I'm pretty sure is actually of Ukrainian descent, publicly criticized China's peace proposal for Ukraine, not even knowing what it was, I believe, warning the world not to be fooled by Moscow's attempt to freeze the war in its own terms. Of course, he said that before he even knew what those terms were. They didn't even look at the proposal. He said, calling for a ceasefire that does not include the removal of Russian forces from Ukrainian territory would be effectively endorsing the Russian occupation. A ceasefire now without a viable solution would allow President Putin to rest and redeploy his troops and then resume the war at a time more favorable to Russia. At about the same time then, Britain announced it would be supplying Ukraine with some of its Challenger 2 main battle tanks, along with armor-piercing depleted uranium shells, to which Vladimir Putin responded as follows in a televised speech. He said, quote, the delivery and use of depleted uranium missiles by the Ukrainian armed forces will be perceived as an attack against Russia with a weapon that has a nuclear component, said Russian President Vladimir Putin, warning Britain not to cross the Rubicon, in effect calling these depleted uranium shells nuclear dirty bombs. He said, today it became known that the United Kingdom, through the deputy head of the Ministry of Defense of the country, announced a supply of not only tanks to Ukraine, but also shells with depleted uranium. Russia will be forced to react once the collective West starts using weapons with a nuclear component. He said, they used these munitions in Kosovo, in Serbia. They bombed peaceful towns and destroyed bridges without UN sanctions. And then there were consequences. Serious illnesses were caused. This leads us to serious thoughts about the continuation of the war and how we can respond. He said, if that happens, there are fewer and fewer steps left on the road to nuclear conflict. So in other words, Britain, if you send these depleted uranium shells, this is going to escalate to a nuclear confrontation. And then yesterday, this is big news. After marathon discussions, 10-hour discussion between Putin and Xi Jinping, a somewhat earth-shattering announcement was made, which was that Putin and Xi Jinping agreed to adopt the Chinese yuan in Russia's commercial transactions with third countries, in effect creating an economic zone that will trade in yuan. As one Greek news article stated, this is a world historical development, as Russia has agreed to convert the Chinese yuan into an international reserve currency, through which energy purchase and sale arrangements will be made. This development will directly lead to the death of the petrodollar and the birth of the petro-yuan, bringing rapid developments to the American and global financial system. And this is taking place while, with Chinese mediation, Saudi Arabia and Iran have restored diplomatic relations with each other, while Saudi Arabia has already agreed to price its oil in yuan and has asked to join the BRICS Economic Organization, something that Iran had already requested. Putin said in his speech announcing this agreement, he said, we are in favor of using the Chinese yuan for trade settlements between Russia and countries in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Already two-thirds of trade between Russia and China is carried out in rubles and yuan. And then the article said, it's no coincidence that before departing, Chinese President Xi Jinping sealed the anti-American coalition by saying, right now, changes are taking place that haven't happened in 100 years. We drive these changes together, he said. I agree, said Putin, to which Xi replied, take care, dear friend, please, warmly shaking the Kremlin leader's hand before his Russian host wished Xi a safe journey home. Same time then last Sunday, CBS 60 Minutes program ran a segment on how the Chinese Navy has now far more ships than the U.S. Navy. They've been building ships. They've now surpassed the U.S. Navy, although they do lag way behind in aircraft carriers. They've only got two of those, or we've got 11, and they're behind in submarines. But by the way, also, Putin and Xi Jinping also agreed that China will begin building warships for Russia as well, including 20 to 30 anti-submarine corvettes, 4 to 6 large destroyers, and an aircraft carrier. They've got a far superior shipbuilding industry than we have in America, where all of our shipbuilders pretty much closed down, a lot of them. Clearly, things are heating toward eventual war between the U.S. and the Sino-Russian alliance, and America is getting weaker, it sure seems to me. And then also, of course, this is taking place just after the Wall Street Journal published an article last week after the Silicon Valley Bank collapsed that 186 other smaller local American banks may be in similar danger of collapse. The banking crisis, we know, was directly caused by the Fed raising interest rates, which was done purportedly to combat inflation. But it's inflation that the Fed, in fact, created in the first place by creating trillions of worthless dollars out of thin air to put Americans out of work during the COVID scam and to fund Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's reckless socialist and green programs. Fed Chairman Janet Yellen just yesterday announced another round of rate hikes. As a result, according to an article in RT News, billionaire investor Bill Ackman is now warning that the U.S. economy is headed for a train wreck as continued interest rate hikes by the Fed could worsen the banking turmoil. He said, when combined with the higher cost of debt and deposits due to rising rates, consider what the impact will be on lending rates for our economy, Ackman wrote on Twitter on Wednesday. The longer this banking crisis is allowed to continue, the greater the damage to smaller banks and their ability to access low-cost capital. He said, trust and confidence are earned over many years, but can be wiped out in a few days. That's a great statement. Trust and confidence are earned over many years, but can be wiped out in a few days. He said, I fear we are heading for another train wreck. Hopefully our regulators will get this right. He said, well, I doubt they're going to get this right. That article closed with this paragraph. Western governments and central banks have sought to prevent a cascade of bank failures after the sudden collapses earlier this month of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in the U.S. The turmoil has also hit troubled Swiss banking giant Credit Suisse, which has been acquired by its rival UBS in a government-brokered deal aimed at shoring up public confidence in the Western financial system and averting a global crisis. So last but not least, to all this I would also add that John Kirby, National Security Advisor, announced yesterday at a press conference that LGBT queer rights are a core part of our foreign policy, and he threatened economic sanctions against Uganda after Uganda recently passed an anti-homosexuality act. He said, quote, President Biden has been nothing but consistent about his foundational belief in human rights and LGBTQ rights are human rights. And yeah, Joe Biden's been very consistent on that. He said, that's something that's a core part of our foreign policy, and it will remain so. So this is a core part of our foreign policy. Kirby added in that press conference, we're never going to be shy or bashful in speaking up about those rights for individuals to live as they deem fit, as they want to live, added Kirby. Kirby, though, he's not just speaking up here. He's threatening economic sanctions to force this policy on Uganda and all other nations that follow the same course of outlawing homosexual behavior. This policy, in itself and by itself, will, of course, bring final destruction on this wicked nation of America. Sodomy is not only a sick, self-destructive perversion, but it is also a sin and an abomination in God's eyes, and no one has a right to sin against God. But by the way, that policy did not start under Biden. It actually began under Obama, and that was continued in full force by Donald Trump as well. On another similar note, Secretary of State Anthony Blinken also said last year that he brings up gay sex in every conversation with the Saudis. He said, quote, I press the Saudis and LGBTQI issues in every conversation. And he warned that attacks on LGBTQI communities is the, quote, canary in the coal mine for broader anti-freedom efforts. And so this is the litmus test of whether a nation is following our foreign policy or not, if they're enforcing LGBTQ rights. So the American Empire's foreign policy is now to compel the nations of the world that it trades with to comply with its LGBT queer agenda or face economic sanctions. This will, by itself, destroy America. And their own stupidity and reprobate minds. The powers that be have pushed Saudi Arabia into the arms of Russia, China, and Iran and shot themselves in their economic foot. possibly committing economic suicide by destroying the value of the petrodollar and its backing by Saudi Arabian oil. And this is just in the last few days. And by the way, if LGBT queer rights are a core part of America's foreign policy, we can presume it won't be long before American citizens will also be sanctioned and or prosecuted for speaking out against LGBT queer rights. So that's a general summary of where things stand at present with the progress of the American empire and its global hegemony. That's the status at present of the New World Order. The nations of the world are becoming increasingly sick and tired of being told what to do by an increasingly evil American empire. And it appears to me that the American empire may well be crumbling. And like Caesar Nero, Uncle Joe Biden is playing his fiddle while Rome burns. And maybe he'll blame it on the Christians too, like Nero did. What impact all this may have on my eschatological opinions remains to be seen. We have to see how things develop. Perhaps the empire will strike back. I don't know. But I wanted to give us all a bit of an update on this evening while balancing it with the timeless truth of this psalm, Psalm 64. As I read this psalm this week, with David's description of the workers of iniquity, it just instantly put me in mind of the globalist cabal that runs this wicked nation. And in this world gone insane, where many who see these things but don't know the Savior might sit up sleepless at night worrying about World War III and imminent destruction and what's going to happen to my bank account and all these things, it's wonderful for us to have the peace and the joy and the assurance that can only be known by those who truly know the Lord, who Psalm 2 says, laughs at these schemes of the wicked. And he promises us that we have nothing to fear. We can laugh too at all these schemes of the wicked. Here David says in verse 7, "But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory." I'm going to close with Psalm 37. We all need to continue doing our best to stay in the center of God's will. It's the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. I say that over and over and over. Witnessing to others, we need to be witnessing. We need to be creating opportunities to share the gospel. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, all the more as we see the day approaching. We need to do all this, just as David also says here in the opening verses of Psalm 37. I'm going to close with this. Psalm 37, verse 1. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." God's going to take care of us. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." He'll bring his will to pass. "He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the new day. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Joe Biden et al. "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." That's what I had for you tonight. Just a brief message. I will at that point go ahead and say a word of prayer to close, and we'll shut the meeting down for tonight. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the assurance it gives us, for the peace that you give us through your word, through the examples of men like David and others who had fear at times, but they trusted in you, and you never let them down. You've never let us down. You're always faithful. We thank you, Lord, for your steadfastness and your faithfulness, and we know that will never subside, that you'll always be faithful. And even when we are faithless, you abide faithful. And so, Lord, we just thank you for these things, and thank you that you promised in days to come, no matter how evil, how dark this world gets, you promised to provide for our needs and take care of us. And I just pray that you'd, if it be your will, that you'd help us, Lord, to stay together and do your will as a church. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.